It's the Living Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can skid up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that'll link it fast. But the show name's good to record DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is the LinuxX.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the kettle's just about to begin.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
What episode is this? 364?
We are at episode 363.
Wow,
that is two episodes left until the very end of the legendary Tech Show season one.
Year one,
that's right. Year one, season one.
Season
we're
one.
Gonna do. We're gonna reload the Tech Show, come back out with our season two, starting September. Well, one of the days between September 10th and 12th at the Ohio Linux Fest. So, what's gonna happen is the last episode that you are gonna hear between now and then is going to be August 4th. That's gonna be our last episode. Episode 365, and then there will be no more until we get to the Ohio Linux Fest. So we highly encourage you to come to the Ohio Linux Fest this year, September 10th through 12th, funnily enough, in Ohio and Columbus, and be there for our relaunch show, where we will relaunch the show and have a bunch of fun and relaunched a website and a whole bunch of other nifty stuff. So be there.
Or be square.
And, tonight, that's right. And tonight we have a very special guest whom we have not had on the show for a very long time. And that is the ever venerable and popular Jeremy Garcia from LinuxQuestions.org. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, guys, how are you? I think some would say it's been too long.
You forgot to include Lovely in there, too. The lovely Jeremy.
Yes.
And the silence continues. You still there, Jeremy?
I am.
What's been going on with LinuxQuestions.org?
Oh, I guess since I've been on last quite a bit, because it's been a while. As I think Link mentioned last show, the site did just turn 10, so that's probably the most recent big thing that happened. You know, we were pretty proud to be able to hit 10 years continuously running.
And 10 times the content from 10 years ago. You know, I was thinking about LinuxQuestions.org today as a resource for Linux support and questions. It's second to none. But how are all the other projects that you have branched off into, like LQ tags, the hardware compatibility list, the tutorials, how are they faring compared to the rest of the site?
We try to start as few ancillary projects kind of as we can, with the hope that the ones we start are genuinely and actually useful. Obviously, the forum is by far and away the most popular of the LQ projects. But some of the other projects have actually kind of taken on a little bit of a life of their own and done pretty well on their own. You know, the LQ Wiki, I think, is one of the bigger media wiki-based non-Wikipedia wikis. LQ ISO, I think we just passed 12 million downloads since we started it. Yeah, it looks like we're almost up to 12.5 million downloads. So that's a pretty successful project. You know, the HCL is kind of tough because it's such a moving target. That I would say that's unfortunately one of our less popular projects, but it is something that we're going to try and work on a little bit more in kind of the next iteration of LQ. We're hoping to have a script that will automatically parse what hardware you have and then report it automatically to the site. So hopefully some automation will help there. And then speaking of that other project, and actually it looks like someone asked in the IRC what I thought of Stack Overflow, Super User, and Server Salt. LQ actually has a, I guess you would call it a sister site because we didn't go with the LQ brand on it, but if you go to linuxexchange.org, it's actually Stack Overflow for Linux and open source. So, you know, it's definitely a different model than the forum model. I think it's got some interesting aspects to it, some aspects that maybe I'm not so fond of, but, you know, it's a project that I'm hoping to learn a lot from and maybe roll some of the better features of it back into the main forum site.
Now, what is, for those of us who are not as familiar with Stack Overflow and or Linux Exchange, what exactly is that? I'm looking at it right now. I kind of have an idea of what it is, but I'm not 100% sure.
It's kind of a, you know, one of the knocks on forums, specifically when used for technical Q&A sites, is you have one person asking a question that could be of varying usefulness as far as how to ask a good question goes, and then what could be a bunch of answers from there, some very good and definitive answers, some maybe not quite as good. So if you're running into a similar problem, you know, you go to Google, you enter in something, you go to a first, you know, the first results of forum, hopefully LQ, and you go to it, it may be on page 3 that the answer is kind of buried with the rest of the stuff. But the idea with Stack Overflow is the first of the sites. It was built on a platform called Stack Exchange. Where the idea was someone could ask a question, other members, if they had enough karma, which is how they kind of base your membership, could maybe edit and improve that question. And then the original question answer or asker could say this was the definitive answer.
Dan's laundry's done.
I pressed the wrong button. I thought I was muted. Sorry.
You doing your laundry then?
As always.
Yeah, Dan's got clean panties now.
Oh, boy.
Sorry.
So that's the general idea of...
What I want to know is, how did you do it, man? How did you, because I remember when all this started, right? How did you come up with this format that has created this giant Linux information juggernaut that has just plowed through the internet and ended up here? 10 years later, where everybody goes to Linux questions to find out answers to whatever it is they're looking for?
Well, truth be told, when I started this site, I had absolutely no idea that it would turn into what it has. And if you would have told me it would have turned into half of what it has, you know, I absolutely would not have believed you. So the answer to that is I didn't set out to kind of have it accomplished what it has accomplished. How it has, I mean, it really has not very much to do with me and more to do with a very good mod team and a group of fantastic members. I'm very, a very small portion of it.
You still there?
Yep.
Have you done patting him on the back for your credit?
Absolutely.
I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to Jeremy. What the heck you got going on there, Link? Every time you unmute, it sounds like you're taking off. You're bringing the UFOs with you. Jeremy, I do have a question about the forum, sir. Which weighs on my mind. LinuxQuestions.org has always been a fantastic resource, and it's been one of the penultimate resources for certain distributions like Slackware. Now, how has, like, we can almost unequivocally say that probably the most popular and widely used distribution is Ubuntu, one of the most. Not saying it is, I don't know the stats. How has, like, how has, like, the Ubuntu project supporting their, you know, running their own forums, how has that impacted on Linux Questions? Or has it not at all, do you think?
You know, I'm not sure that it really has. You know, most of the major distributions, be it Ubuntu or Fedora or what have you, have their own forums, and we still get a ton of questions about those distributions. You know, I'm very much of the mindset that Linux is still in a big enough growth phase that, you know, a rising tide's going to lift all boats at this phase of the game. So I think any active Linux forum is only going to, in the end, probably make LQ better. As far as, you know, what you mentioned, Slackware specifically, we probably get a higher percentage of Slackware questions than maybe Slackware is representative of the overall Linux ecosystem. And that's because if you go to Slackware.com and click on forums, it links to our Slackware forum. We have that with some other forums, with some other distributions, like Red Hat links directly to us, although not Fedora. But if you go to our site and click on the Linux distribution forum, you'll see a bunch of distros listed separately there. Any distro that's listed there officially participates, so someone that is officially associated with the project does participate at LQ. And Ubuntu and Fedora both participate, so I guess they see some kind of value there.
That is pretty cool. So is that like your greatest accomplishment here? Is LinuxQuestions.org? Are you satisfied with it?
I would say personally, it's definitely one of my greatest accomplishments. Am I satisfied with it? Probably not. I mean, we can always do better. We can always improve. You know, it's kind of fascinating that after 10 years, I'm really not burned out at all. And I think the best of LQ is probably yet to come. It's something that I still, on a day-to-day basis, can really get excited about.
Now, at this point, I mean, obviously, the funding for LinuxQuestions.org is well beyond just your personal pocketbook there. I mean, do you have a lot of, distributions and other companies pitching in to help you keep this site up, or is it all just community-supported?
Actually, yeah, no distributions chip in whatsoever. We also have what's called our official participation program, where anyone from any company that's associated with open source can participate. Instead of having the regular LQ kind of member titles, they'll have one that associates some with the company. And that's also completely free. We don't charge any company ever anyway. The only way we really create revenue is through advertising. And I think we are really one of the first ones. This is one thing that I'm happy to be able to do. I've said a couple times in the past, I really don't see the site kind of a revenue generator. I see it more as a way to give back to the community, a community that's really given me a lot. And so if you notice, I mean, if you go to the site and you're not logged in, there's a little bit of ad, maybe more than I'd like, but really not a ton compared to some other sites. Right when you log in, all the most obnoxious advertising goes away immediately. Pretty much once you have 10 posts, you don't see any advertising stuff. The more you participate, the less you see ads, right down to showing you zero ads.
Oh, crap, I was muted when I said that. How much participation do I have to commit in order to get zero ads?
I think after 9, you see a single ad. To get that last ad turned off, I'd have to look. I think it's when you become a senior member. But after 9, you see almost ads.
Awesome. Not that I don't want to see your ads.
Well, really, that should be how almost all sites work, in my opinion, right? Because if you're going to Google, searching for a question, and you never plan to participate, you're not really giving anything back to the site, so I think it's fair that we show you a couple ads. If you're actively spending your time helping other people, I really don't think you should see ads. You know, I think you're driving value to the site in a very direct way, and to me that means you shouldn't have any ads.
So right now you're giving away subscriptions to Linux Pro Magazine. That was a week ago.
As part of our kind of 10-year celebration, if you will, we've been, you know, Ricky from Linux Pro Magazine was kind enough to give us a bunch of subscriptions to Linux Pro. And also some subscriptions to Ubuntu User, which we've been giving those away today. And then I'm probably going to finish off maybe this week. I'll probably kind of finish the celebration by giving away some LG merchandise.
So in the 10 years you've been running this site, what's the most craziest, wackiest question you've ever seen come through? One that sticks out the most to you?
I'm trying to think of one. You know, we've had over 4 million posts, so I've probably seen such a small percentage of that. I don't know if I could give a valid answer to that question.
I don't like the way you blow that off. I bet you there's a ton of them. You just don't want to call anybody out on the carpet. Coward.
Well, I certainly wouldn't remember who posted it, probably. You know, we have one single non-technical forum, so I'm sure the most ridiculous questions, I'm sure, happen there, but I tend to, not to read that forum very much.
I still see you have the redirect from windowsquestions.org right to linuxquestions.org. Very good.
I do, because if you have a question about Windows and Linux, very well may be the answer.
Yeah, that is good. Do you still get complaints about that?
Every once in a while I get an email, from someone not too happy.
Wow. How's the wiki going? Was that a fruitful endeavor there, or is it just a...
Yeah, no, I really think it was. It's, you know, it's a way to kind of build a different kind of knowledge base than the forum is. And I would say it's been successful. Like I said, I believe it's one of the more popular non-Wikipedia-based media wiki sites. And to look up how many articles it has now. Yeah, so since the site started, there's almost 8,000 articles and over 50,000 edits, so I'd consider that a success.
That is great. Wow. How much space does this take up? I mean, like, what do you have, what kind of hardware do you have running this? Linux Quest.
So, most of the hardware we have, or not most, but a good amount of the hardware we have is just because I want everything to be redundant and in different data centers and different states and all that kind of stuff. The main site really is just a SQL Server. We have Nginx load balancing between some backend Apaches. And then we do MySQL replication. And then we do all of our searches and backups on the slave. Just to do full text. And then all the rest of the queries going from that. But even with the traffic we get, I mean, the load on pretty much all the servers is fairly minimal. We could certainly scale on the current infrastructure many times than what we have now.
That is awesome. So how many visits do you get a day on average? How many visits a day do you get on average?
250,000 visits a day, it looks like, roughly.
How many visits do we get a day, Link? 2.5?
yeah, that's what it is, yeah. No, I wish we got anywhere near that many visits. We get about a couple million hits a year is what we get.
What's really, I think that's a respectable number.
It is.
No, it's not. It could be a lot better.
So you're also a mirror effect.
Now you're going to make me look up and see exactly how many it is. So
you're a mirror site for a lot of Linux distributions too. They must take up a lot. They must take a few. I see that there's at least 15.
You do that money? Maybe.
Wow, the 15 most downloaded. The 15 most downloaded over the last 30 days. Number one is Open Solaris 2009.06.
That's shameful.
You know, every once in a while a bot gets stuck downloading something. That might be because that's so much higher than the rest of them. But number two, Red Hat Linux 9, is very consistently in the top three. even though we have a huge disclaimer on the page in red asking you not to download it.
Why not?
Well, Red Hat 9 is so out of date that there's surely security holes and all kinds of... I mean, that's not putting Linux's best foot forward. If
you should just take it down.
9.
Okay, you know, just to make us look a little bit more impressive, I have found out the actual numbers, and we get almost 2.9 million over the last year hits. So I feel...
That's not bad.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I feel substantially better now.
Yeah.
So. All right. A whole another million in there somewhere. Alright. Sorry. Just had to put that out there.
Impressive.
Making me feel bad, Jeremy.
You're doing a very good job, guys.
Well, thank you.
So, yeah, I see on the website that you say Red Hat Linux is no longer supported. That would be the Red Hat Linux 9, but the Red Hat Linux Enterprise Linux is still going.
Right, and we linked to, you know, RHEL and Fedora from that page.
Right.
The reason we didn't completely take it down is some things do depend on Red Hat 9, unfortunately. So, I mean, we might take it down one of these days, but I'd like to try and be an archive for whatever we can be, if possible.
I think you should keep it up forever. Somebody's going to want it sometime.
If you think we should, then so.
You do it. just to spite Joel, too.
Just for Dan.
Just take it down.
Yeah. Do you have all the releases of Slackware there?
I'm sure we go back
to 9.1. I'm disappointed. Come on. There's earlier versions.
Yeah, that's not very far.
No, it's not. You gotta work on that, man. I guess I could just go and upload them myself, couldn't I?
You could, yeah.
Yeah, but that requires some work. How's Alan doing?
Because Dan has them all.
I actually recently posted a picture on the site of a CD I found in my office and said that anyone who could find an older CD and send me a picture could have any one free item from the LQ store. And no one actually could. I was surprised.
Where is this picture?
I'm going to get a link up. But yeah. I think it was Slackware 3.2, I want to say. Let me find it.
Yeah, I don't have anything that low. Ay, ay, ay. What are you doing nowadays? Like, are you consulting now? Or do you actually have a 9-to-5 job? Or are you just LQ all the way?
I am still consulting.
Uh-huh. How you liking that?
You know, I like it. You get to see kind of a lot of different interesting setups and challenging configurations. There's a link. And I'll actually extend that offer to all of your listeners, too. If anyone can find an older CD and send me a picture, first person to do it gets a free item from the LQ store.
That doesn't even say Slackware on it at all, does it? It just says Linux.
It does say Patrick Volkerding at the top there.
Yeah, it does.
I think I had one of the
did they even make a... Did they even have Slackware on a CD before then? I mean, did they even have CDs before then, you know?
Oh, that I don't know.
In the 90s they did. Like, 95, 96?
Yeah, but I mean...
So I would think somewhere in 95.
You would think that, you know, the technology of the time would dictate that probably before that one was released, we were back installing on floppies. I remember my first Slack install was like 27 floppies or something.
Yeah, at least
like
20
that.
Floppies or so.
Yeah, back when we bought them by the 100.
I mean, I had... Yeah, I
somewhere along the
had,
line, I was hoping I'd find my... my
box of 100 of them. That was back when you really had to be a man to install Linux 2. Because there was seriously some drive behind that. If you were driven enough to spend 3 hours swapping floppies out, trying to get your operating system working, you know, that was really a man thing to do right then.
And then the 10th floppy would be bad or something.
Oh, that was the worst. Yeah, get to like floppy 13 or something. That was always rotten.
I think I did that like once, and that's it. I said, I'll wait until it's easier. We certainly come a long way, haven't we, gents?
Surprisingly long way, I think.
Yeah, now
to me, it takes less time to set up.
Hey, it's no problem. If my operating system is 8 gigs, I can just slap that right on there. We'll have it installed in 15 minutes, you know?
Well, that's true. That's what I was going to say. I mean, in 15, 30 minutes, we have a full system. Try that with Windows.
8 gigs? Shit, I can suck that down off the net in a half hour.
Yep.
If your operating system's 8 gigs in size, you need a new operating system. That's a lot of waste. Holy crap.
You know, it's like Windows 7, right? You gotta...
Oh, my God.
Less.
How many virtual machines does that include in there?
None. It virtually installs a working operating system. That's what they call Windows.
Yep. I sat through a 2.5-hour Dell restore session with my uncle once, and it failed at about 2.5 hours into it. And I told him, I said, I can put Ubuntu on here, and you can walk out the door in 20 minutes, and he literally walked out the door in 20 minutes. And it's been 2 years now, and he calls me when he forgets how to open his pictures or something like that.
That's the way to do it, man.
Yep. I mean, he looks at pictures of his grandkids, he checks his email, maybe pays a bill or two and does some shopping, and that's it. So,
I check with my
perfect
friend
that
for I converted.
Him.
Yeah, it's been about 2 years. I converted a guy, there's a guy that's a plumber. He had a Dell system, and I stuck a Windows DVD in there, tried to boot it, it would not even boot right. So I stuck Ubuntu in there, booted straight up, did an install, in and out, less than an hour. And haven't heard any complaints.
Yep.
So,
I converted my father-in-law to Linux. It's either 5 or 6 years ago now, and this weekend I have to go to his house and reinstall Linux. And that's not because his old computer isn't working, because it still is. It works fine. But he bought a new computer. Like, his old computer is an 800 megahertz computer, and he bought a new laptop. It's 2.mumble gigahertz, and he wants
to
use that instead. So I have to go there. I'm going to bring my my 32-bit Linux Mint distribution, and I'm going to stick in the CD drive, and I'm going to install Linux Mint and configure his printer for him and be out of there hopefully within half an hour. Really, hopefully. That's my father-in-law. But, you know.
Because you use Mint, he'll be
when,
able
when
to
When are you doing this, Link?
Yeah. I'm doing it probably Saturday after I drop my kid off of work.
Yeah.
And I was going to say,
is that the one up here?
The average person.
What's that, Alan?
Is your father-in-law the one up here?
Mm-hmm.
No, give me a call. I'll be around.
You bet.
With the cigar store.
Ooh. Now we're talking.
There you go.
Jeremy, what distribution are you running over there? OS 10?
Always. On my desktop, it's Ubuntu. All the LK servers are actually RHEL.
And from experiences like this, he developed a...
The hell is that?
You said your servers are actually Red Hat Enterprise Linux?
Correct.
Sweet.
Yeah, they were kind enough to donate some licenses.
Sweet. Now you didn't want to go for like CentOS or something like that?
You know, if they wouldn't have donated them, I probably would have done CentOS at the time. I mean, I'm trying to think. The original OS was probably RHEL 3, so I mean, it's going back a while now. They're all running RHEL 5 now, and we'll probably move to 6 when it comes out. But I mean, I have installed CentOS for clients quite a bit, and I've never had a problem with it. Is that what you guys run on your servers?
Well, I run, I run Red Hat Enterprise Linux for work, so I run a lot of servers on that. At home, I use CentOS because essentially it's the same damn thing, except one has a blue background and one has a red background.
Yeah.
And on my desktops, I run Linux Mint because it's really nice and easy to use.
You know, I've never used Linux Mint. How does it compare to Ubuntu?
It's Ubuntu with all the shit fixed.
Installed too.
You know, in all seriousness, it's Ubuntu without the ugly backgrounds, and it's got all the shit on it that you normally fix in Ubuntu already fixed.
So all the codecs are installed and stuff?
Yep. Everything's already there, ready and waiting for you. It's real nice looking, runs nice and smooth. Doesn't have any of that, you know, weird shit where they moved all the window widgets around and all. It's just, you know, it's what Ubuntu should be and probably could be if it wasn't driven by a corporate sponsor.
Yep.
Should really try it sometime.
If Ubuntu wasn't driven by a corporate sponsor, then it wouldn't be at all.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. The don't ever underestimate the Linux community. You should know that more than anybody.
Oh no, I was speaking of Ubuntu specifically. Ubuntu really is WFX corporate sponsor, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say Ubuntu without a corporate sponsor, in fact, is W.
Well, I think it's more than Debian, but Ubuntu without a corporate sponsor would be a fixed version of Debian. I hate to say that because there's a lot of Debian users. I don't want them to be offended because Debian itself is a really good distribution.
Yes.
However, I think that what Ubuntu did on top of Debian was to give it a lot of spit and polish, and then on top of that, they made it more enterprise ready, which is a big thing. And then, you know, Mint came along on top of Ubuntu and gave it even more spit and polish, as far as I'm concerned anyway, for a desktop operating system.
Right.
And that's, you know, a lot of that is because they're not not necessarily encumbered by
they don't have a business
corporate wrangling and some, you know, laws about the codecs and stuff like that. They have unique ways of getting around.
Yeah. I think one thing Ubuntu's added a lot of is a Python code. There's definitely a lot of Python apps that probably wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Ubuntu. But
you guys think Canonical is a viable business long term?
Sure. I do.
You know what? If you'd have asked me that 6 months ago, I would have said, I'm not sure. But at this point, I think, yeah, they really are. And I think the reason for that is that they have recently put a lot of effort into making an enterprise-ready Linux out of Ubuntu. Ubuntu is wildly, wildly popular to begin with, right? It's the distribution that we all eventually turned to because we got tired of screwing with everything else. And it just worked, and it was wonderful. Ever since, you know, Ubuntu 5 came out, that was the big turning point or something like that. And now they're putting all this effort into making sure that they're an enterprise-ready operating system, and that not only just for the desktop, but specifically for their server and their server offerings that they have. And that's going to, it's sort of sticking them just a little bit into the enterprise server market, you know, where before you would never hear, really, you would hardly ever hear about anybody running Ubuntu legitimately in an enterprise server situation. And now I'm starting to hear some grumblings of some people actually doing that, and they're providing enterprise level support and things like that. So with the popularity of Ubuntu, I cannot imagine that doing anything but growing, you know, and taking up a little more space in there. So as long as they do that and they grow and they, you know, they keep spreading the Ubuntu goodness in the enterprise server arena, I cannot see them possibly not having a viable business model.
And do you think them being viable makes Novell not viable?
Well, you know, and that's what I was gonna mention SUSE, actually. And what I was gonna say about SUSE is, look, SUSE has been doing it for years now. They've been living off of, and essentially it is really, they've been living off of their enterprise business model. Because for sure, the SUSE is not friendly whatsoever to the community, you know, and all you SUSE people, you open SUSE people, can get mad at me for saying that, but it's true. SUSE is not friendly whatsoever to the community. They turn you away at every corner, it looks like, or it seems like. But they do pretty well on their server side. They have some contracts with some people, and you can legitimately get and run SUSE on some hardware. And I think that's what's given them a little longevity. And I think that's where Ubuntu's gonna go well too, except for Ubuntu has an even bigger name behind it, because anybody in the last 5 years or better that has done any bit of desktop Linux work whatsoever has certainly become very familiar with Ubuntu if they haven't, you know, use it themselves on a regular basis. So I can't see, you know, that brand name not doing well if it's given any chance whatsoever. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, I personally, like,
full of crap.
From the desktop side with Ubuntu, I really like what they've done with the some of the stuff, like the Ubuntu One Music Store. It's not quite there yet, but it's coming. And
that's a piece also, of crap.
It is now, but
it is. It's always. You know what? I've tried 3 or 4 different times to buy music from there, and it never works. So
I'm
I will
you,
just
though.
Buy them from Amazon or go
yeah.
straight to a seven. What is it? Seven. What is the? Who they come from?
Seven Digital.
Seven Digital. You could buy straight from there, and sometimes it's a little cheaper. Now, I wouldn't mind giving Ubuntu some money, but it doesn't work. I don't even run Ubuntu on my machines anymore. Well, most of them anyhow. Kiss my ass, what they can do.
Well, and that's the thing that annoys me a little bit with that, is that it doesn't really, it's not really good for the Linux community for them to have this thing still out there and not working. I'll agree. I think once they finally do get it working, it's going to be really great. But until then, you know, they need to do something to get it work. That's all.
Has it worked? Jeremy, have you tried it?
You know, I tried it right when it came out, and it just also didn't work for me. I've not tried it since, so it's been a little while.
You know, every time, my complaint, first off, it only works in GNOME, as far as I know. I tried it in Fluxbox, running, you know, whatever it is that I have to run Nautilus or whatever for it, and it still crashes. When I did it in GNOME, I went to purchase something, it told me I couldn't use my credit card. I don't know why. So
really?
I went over and bought what I wanted off of Amazon with using the same credit card without a problem. Yeah. So, you know, I get that also on, through Google, though, too, through, Like, if I want to buy something off the Android marketplace, and it's you know, something that's, like, particularly over in Europe, the developers over in Europe, so they charge in euros or pounds, and I try and buy it, a lot of times it won't go through for me. It says I can't use my credit card for some reason, due to security settings or some wacky thing, and I don't know.
I'll tell you what, Dan, why don't you read me your credit card right now, and I'll see if it works over here.
That's funny.
Let me open up my wallet here. Are you ready?
Get out your pens
I'm
and papers
ready.
On the live stream.
I'll write it down in the IRC just in case I'm missing.
All right, and I'll double-check it for you, but it's 5632-4913-8326-1132. Expiration date 12/13. Security code on the back is 011.
Right.
Good luck. Because I didn't give you my full name that's on the card. I win.
Dan Swashko.
Damn it, Gorkon. You know, we talk about these Linux distributions. Like, there's like, that they're going to continue to matter so much coming in the future. I mean, do you really think that the desktop is still a viable marketplace in the upcoming years? Or are we going to see that fade away for more appliance-type technology?
You know, I think eventually something like Google Chrome is probably going to be the way for a lot of use cases, but I think there'll still be a fair amount of use cases for a traditional desktop for foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What'd you say, Jeremy?
You sound like you disagree.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about it. I was laying in the pool thinking about it today. And, yeah, I was. It's like, laptops, netbooks, tablets, smartphones. I do still see, right now, you're right, I do see going forward, I don't know how I would replace, essentially I don't have a desktop anymore. I'm laptops and netbooks. So, I mean, if we lump laptops in with, like, desktops, I can see what you're saying. Particularly for doing the show, I don't see how I'd get around not having that type of system that would give me what's necessary to do audio, edit audio, or even my day-to-day job, having to edit images and stuff like that. But then again, I don't know. A keyboard is essential, and I see a lot of these devices not having good keyboards.
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point the cloud integration into a traditional desktop OS, they'll probably merge somewhere in the middle, right, where there's one thing somewhere in the middle of both will handle almost all use cases. I could see that happening. But I just can't imagine a desktop going away anytime, even in the midterm future. Although these days the midterm future in computing is 2 years, so who knows?
Yeah. But yeah, I was just like, we spent so much time trying to get Linux on the desktop and being sold on desktops, and it was all this, we gotta fight Microsoft, you know, gotta get some market share. And is that battle even relevant anymore? Is Microsoft even relevant anymore?
This sure doesn't seem like it. They haven't done anything interesting in a long time.
And when they do decide to do something, they end up killing it right away anyway, so.
Like the kin. Probably Windows Phone 7, too.
I just found out that a guy I went to high school with works for Microsoft, and he's posting out there about, oh, I can't wait for Windows Phone 7. I'm like, what do you do there? And he's apparently some head of operations for something like that, like the Northwest Territories, or I don't know what he described it as. But he said that they really screwed up with the kin. It was a part of the Danger acquisition that they took on a few years back, and they tried to leverage all of that stuff, and they really just, you know, messed it up big time.
They screwed the pooch.
Yep.
So it's a pretty interesting post by one of the danger guys saying that, you know, we went from a company where innovation was fostered, and then Microsoft bought us, and we weren't really allowed to do anything. So I think they had a lot of
different
loss for the acquisition.
I think you can blame that on Ballmer, to be brutally honest on that. I mean,
how he has remained CEO this long, I don't get it, but I guess I'm not close to Microsoft. So.
Bing! Bing!
Crap alert.
He runs around the office doing that, so.
Yeah.
What's interesting about that is I can see how that is such a reality, because, you know, the company I work for is a fairly big company, and the umbrella that we were under when they started our division, we were kind of a very innovative division for this company, and as time went on, and they acquired another innovative company and pulled it under us, you know, so we combined those two. We got stuck under the umbrella of the parent company, and when focus on revenue was the top priority, more emphasis was placed on the parent company to maintain their revenue and freshen their product at the detriment to the division that I worked for. So you look at this and say, well, you know, here was this really great company that was doing all this innovative stuff, and all of a sudden production came to a halt and stagnated because the parent company, you know, needed that level of innovation and injection into their product. And so, you know, time goes by, and two or three years later, you're sitting there, and, you know, the parent company's like, well, why aren't you guys doing anything? It's because you took all our resources and finances and told us this remain stagnant until you took off. And it sucks, you know, it's a terrible thing to have to go through.
Well, I think specifically in Microsoft case too, anything that was seen as even encroaching on either the cash cows that were Windows or Office just were killed, you know, immediately. So products that probably internally would have been interesting just weren't even allowed to flourish because they were scared. But the thing is, if they don't cannibalize it, someone else eventually is going to do it. How they don't see that, I don't understand.
Yeah, you know, it's
going to be good for some other company, that's for sure.
And it looks like it's happening now. I mean, wow, their whole. Do they have any successful products besides Windows Office and? I mean, their Windows line and their server line of Windows products and Xbox. I mean, is there any other successful?
Even Xbox, you look at how many billions of dollars they lost before it became profitable. And not many companies stay in those kinds of postures. You know, that wasn't a successful product right off the bat.
Oh, no, I know. It was for years it was mediocre and problematic, but now, you know, they managed to. Well, how come we don't see that level of success on the rest of their products that they come out with? Like the Zune? Is that even?
It's around. It's not very
good. I know it's still around.
Expect that same thing to happen with the Xbox again, because they just got rid of the whole division who was heading that, and they all now report to Ballmer. So expect the Xbox to also take a dive.
Yeah.
That sucks, because I like my Xbox.
As much as I don't like Apple, you kind of got to give them that for a big company. They do seem to let new ideas kind of flourish.
My Xbox works great for streaming Netflix.
Yeah.
But Apple's been riding on the coattails of the iPod for a while now.
Or the iPhone.
And it's pretty successful.
Till the antenna gate.
Well, yeah, I don't think they make very much money on the iPod anymore comparatively to the iPhone and now the iPad.
Oh, no, I mean, the iPod. The iPod bred the iPhone.
Right.
They took an MP3 player and turned the cell phone industry on its head. That's kind of an interesting transition.
Yeah, I mean, I don't deny it.
I mean, if you're RIM right now, I would have to assume you're pretty nervous. Like, Android clearly is going to do very well and is a spectacular product. The iPhone is not going away anytime soon. So Symbian, RIM, and Windows Phone 7 or whatever it is certainly can't all flourish. So at least one or two or possibly all three of them are in a whole world of pain very soon.
Well, and then there's WebOS, which was really looked really fantastic at CES, and then Palm has got bought by HP, you know.
And I was a huge Palm fan back in the day. I mean, that was a great...
Yeah.
Well, the phone hardware was kind of a brick. The OS was, I think, way out of its time.
Yeah, but they didn't. They stagnated with Garnet for so long.
Yep.
I mean, that was the problem.
ALP was coming soon in so many Linux worlds that I can't even remember how many it was.
Yep. Well, the WebOS essentially is that. But
I mean, they could have been where Android is now.
Actually, I'm thinking more like MAMO could have been where Android is now, if they would have done something with it.
Yeah, very true.
MAMO was a really nice system, and it was more like regular Linux than Android is. You can run full X applications, you know.
I love my N8 N800 that I had, but you know, unfortunately, the screen just kind of went out on it not too long ago. Otherwise, I'd still be using it.
Yeah, I had one too. I really liked it.
Yep. And I'm not convinced about Mego. I think Mego is nice, but right now, all it looks like is basically Moblin redone. You know.
Yeah.
And they don't have. They don't have an interface for the phone yet, so just for the desktop and netbook.
And aren't they supporting Qt and GTK now?
Yeah.
Moblin was one and MAMO was the other.
Yep.
I don't know what Moblin was.
Yeah.
As much as I'm a fan of Spice, that you know, at some point it works against the other.
You think we're going to see significant rollback from the cell phone market into the Linux desktop?
Into the Linux desktop? I mean, I would assume at some point we're going to see some kind of Android tablet that can keep with the iPad, I would hope. I know I'm waiting for one.
I mean, what I'm talking about specifically, though, is, like, right now you have Android and the Nook and everything. They've got these awesome e-book readers and support with Amazon's Kindle products, but you don't have that on any of the Linux desktop distributions. And on top of that, you have, you know, like Netflix. There's all this Netflix streaming that's on top of Linux, but on, you know, closed devices, but you don't see it on desktop Linux. Itself.
You know, that's always been one huge pet peeve of mine, is so many of these products run embedded Linux and then don't support Linux as an operating system, like you said, on a desktop, which it makes no sense. Clearly, it would work because they're using embedded Linux all over the place.
Yep.
So why more companies like that? I mean, there's an endless number, you know?
Yep.
Whether the support in phones will trickle down, I would hope so, but I don't know.
Yeah, I know. You know, the other thing is that when you go out and buy an embedded Linux device, the software on it only connects with Windows.
Yeah.
Very consistent.
Yep.
But, I mean, whether that'll change in the near future, probably not, unfortunately, which means we kind of miss out on a lot of cool products.
So, I don't know what it uses, but have you ever seen one of those i5 memory cards? That thing looks pretty cool, but... Yeah. It looks really cool, but you can't... I mean, there's no real easy way to configure it on Linux just yet. They're working on it, though.
What is that?
And by them, basically, it's an SD card that goes into your camera, and what it'll do is it'll look for open Wi-Fi access points, and automatically hop on them and upload your pictures as you take them, depending on how you configure. And you can have it uploaded to your computer, you can have it uploaded to Flickr, Facebook, so on and so forth. it has Wi-Fi built into the SD card itself. So I don't know what runs on it. I want to say I think it's Linux, but I'm not positive. But it's an interesting device, and it's not that expensive considering what it can do. But you can, like I said, you know, imagine being out somewhere, taking pictures, and automatically your Facebook is updated.
So then why do you need it to work with Linux if it already does it all?
You can't initially
figure it with Linux.
Oh, you have to connect the
card to your Facebook account / your Flickr account, whatever you decide to do. Once you get through the initial configuration, you don't really need Windows or anything else.
But I think there was also some scripts out there to actually have it connect to your home server as well, instead of sending it
right to
Flickr and all.
Correct. And like if you have a party at your house or something, you know, by the end of your party, all your pictures are on your computer.
Yeah.
Already. You don't have to plug it into your SD slot. So, but yeah, it's plus it also does the geotagging too by using the Skyhook stuff, the same Skyhook stuff that the iPod Touch can use, since it doesn't have a GPS in it. So it basically will give the latitude, longitude of nearest Skyhook Wi-Fi access point, and it doesn't even have to connect to the access point; it just has to know that it sees it, and then it can geolocate your picture. But if you have an Android phone, it does all that anyway. So, and eventually, cell phones are going to be your point-and-shoot camera as well. As good as they're getting.
Like the direction is going.
Yep. You might have a Super Zoom or a digital SLR, but the one you have, for that photography is a lot of what you have with you. And if you don't have your digital SLR with you, but you have your phone with you that has an 8 megapixel camera in it, that's what you're going to take a picture with.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, I think one thing we probably should be better at, it's something I try to be cognizant of, is if a company does support Linux, I try, you know, if I'm deciding between two products, you know, I was doing some home HA stuff, and there was two products, and one was Mikasa Verde. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. But not only is it built on Linux, they tout, hey, this is built on Linux. You know, here are open APIs. If you build a cool plugin and offer it under the GPL, we'll refund your money for the entire product. It is one of the promotions they were having. So I bought that over. The competitor looked a little more polished and kind of a little more high-end features, but when it push comes to stuff, I think you have to kind of speak with your money in cases like that.
Oh, definitely. I agree with you.
You know, the Sonos is cooler than the Squeezebox, but I bought the Squeezebox because it's all open source and all runs on Linux.
What's your opinion of Linux magazines these days? Do you still buy them?
I don't buy Linux Pro, but I do. They give me a subscription because I write for them. Isn't the only other Linux magazine now Linux Journal?
Oh, there's still also Linux Format and Linux Developer and User, I think. The ones that come out of the United, or over there in Europe, I think, UK.
Okay. I mean, I still like magazines. I think I'm in the minority there, but when I'm in a plane and stuff, you know, I think they're just a convenient thing to have sometimes, an actual print magazine.
Yeah, I haven't bought one in a long time. That market must be hurting big time.
You know, it seems like some of the better magazines now are kind of actually doing better, but on a whole, the industry definitely is not doing well. If any of them were available, I do have a Kindle that I really like. If any of them were available on the Kindle, I would certainly subscribe. And I know that's something that like, Linux Pro is looking into it. I haven't gotten an answer out of it, but yeah. Something I've suggested for multiple times.
Do you like your Kindle a lot?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I do. I think it's a great product. And I have a Kindle One.
Ooh.
You know, so with the good one. With the Schwarzenau, I still read significantly more since getting a Kindle than before getting a Kindle.
Now, you know,
I use one, and it works great, you know.
I love mine.
I put it on a BlackBerry, put it on the Android phone. I mean, I put it on as many different. I've really wanted it on my Windows desktop at work, you know, and it just works great. It syncs everything across all the phones.
Yep. I love mine. The only thing I'm a little bit sad about is the fact that there's DRM on the books, but you know, I don't know. As much as I hate DRM, I can't see them making something available, especially for books, without it. Because books, I get a whole book downloaded in less than a minute. I mean, imagine if there was no DRM on them, how quickly you can have your Kindle filled. And you literally have thousands of books on that thing. You know?
And there's a lot of open content you can put on them, too.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah, but to be honest, though, Dan, when I want to put something public domain, for me, I just go right to the Kindle door, build into the Kindle, and get it that way. Yes, it's actually I think it even still has DRM on it too, but you know, it's the convenience factor that you know, the fact that I can just look up a book. Like the Count of Monte Cristo, which I have. I got it.
Just you better read it, man. That's awesome.
I will.
Book.
I do want to read it.
Don't get me started on that. Do not. I'll talk to you. I watched the movie the other day. I was disappointed as hell. The book was so good. Oh. You know what? Because I've been having this ongoing debate with my wife. Like, I never thought reading books on, you know, this kind of device, a handheld device or electronically, would be the thing for me, because I always loved books. But then when, you know, I got the Droid here and Aldeco, all those books at my fingertips, you know, and I'm reading off this thing every night, and then when the Kindle app came, I'm like, there is absolutely no reason for me to go out and buy a book again. I got all the books in my hand.
Joel, mute.
Yeah, I think it's surprising how readable an e-ink screen really is.
Well, even the cell phone screen, the smartphone screen is, I haven't had a problem with it. E-ink is amazing, though.
Yeah, and I mean, I think clearly at some point Amazon's going to be giving the Kindle away, right, just to sell a bunch of books. Because they're long-term, they're not going to make a ton of revenue on the Kindle. They just want to sell millions of books.
Well, it's down to what, 150?
Right, they're already down, what, way under half of where they started. So, that, I mean, it's going to go to zero, I think, eventually.
You think so?
I can get the...
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they might
I think
be
I can get the Kindle DX for... Sorry. I can get the Kindle DX for what I paid for my Kindle 2 last year.
Yeah.
I wonder about that, though. I mean... What would the point be of keeping the Kindle around once, you know, you got the iPad, once Android tablets start taking off? I mean, why would you buy the Kindle then?
To me, the difference is still the e-ink screen. I would not read that on iPad.
I think also, too, that the form factor doesn't sit very well in your hands with one of the iPads. It's a little too heavy for one hand for, you know, sitting there for a long amount of time if you're reading something. You still have to kind of hold it with two hands and if you want to look at it for quite a while.
Well, for an iPad, yes, not a Kindle.
Yeah. No, I mean, Kindle you can hold it in one hand, yeah.
Even a DX you can do that with. But the big there's two big reasons for a Kindle instead of using the ePhone app. One, actually there's more than that, but the two big ones are that you can read it under sunlight, and two, the battery life is tremendous. Mm-hmm. If I turn the wireless off, I can literally go almost a whole month, and that's reading every day. So, and then...
And I'm sure
probably
Amazon likes controlling the point of distribution, too, which is something we don't like. But from Amazon's business perspective, but if you're just always using an iPad and then Apple iBooks or whatever it's called ends up being better, you can switch. If you own a Kindle, it's not.
It's the funniest thing. With the iPad, I have several friends who have them, and most of them will not buy books from the iBooks store. They buy them from Amazon. Because they're, one, they're cheaper, they're two, there's a bigger selection, and three, WhisperSync. So, and a good bunch of them did sell their Kindles, but I don't know. If I got an iPad or a pad computer, I don't think I would sell my Kindle.
I like it too much. I don't like that.
Yep. Love my Kindle. Plus, I like that you can post passages from Facebook to Facebook and Twitter with it too. It's odd. I thought when I first heard of that firmware update, I thought, why would I want to do that? But now I do that more than I admit to.
So you guys that have Kindles don't think that support for that device is going out the window?
No. I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't.
Too many.
A Kindle.
Yeah. I think there's too many good features of it to keep it around. There's too many few things that it can do that the iPad can't quite match up to, in my opinion. I mean, the iPad
and if
has
ever get
decent
a color e-ink screen figured out, I think that would be,
there you go. Yep.
And also too, not that Target has like IT support staff or whatever, like a Best Buy, or whatever. But you're starting to see them in actual brick and mortar stores now, so you can actually go in and handle one. Take it back when something's wrong with it. You can, I think you'll see it start moving out of a Target and into more other stores and potentially something like a Best Buy where they would have people there potentially on-site to handle support calls and even on-site support with it.
I need support.
I mean, this is single use device, and there's not a whole lot to it. I can't imagine how much support.
Right.
You don't even have to have a computer. But you don't even have to have a computer to use it. You just, you can sign up for your Amazon.com account right on it, I think, in the store, the way they have them configured in the store. I know when you order from Amazon, that comes pre-configured for your account.
Yep.
But
yeah, still, it's so damn expensive. You know, if it went down to $50, I'd buy it. And I'd probably I'd love the heck out of it, but it's too expensive.
I think you'll see $99 pretty soon.
You think so?
A ways off. Yeah. I mean, like you said, the DX is as cheap as the Kindle 2 was very recently, so.
A lot of money. Are they still selling like hotcakes? They were predicting the iPad would be the Kindle killer. Did it kill the Kindle?
No.
At the price point of that now, hell no.
Oy.
So, well, what do we have in store for Season 2 here on the Linux Link Tech Show?
Not a damn thing. More the same old crap. How do you like that?
How can you improve something that's already so good? Was the answer.
That's what I say. So we're not. We're just dropping it. This is going to be all Joe all the time. Right, Joel?
We figured for season two we would actually show up once in a while and even talk about Linux.
Yeah, go. Man, we're gonna do more technology talk in season two. We got a bunch of stuff planned. You know, continue with interviews, get back some of the people we have, more focus on Linux technology wise.
Yeah, you know, I let us know the last two shows. There wasn't a whole lot of Linux on there.
Yeah, because we're preparing. We're kind of stacking the deck in our favor here, so that when we're done, you know, when we launch season two, it'll be like a Linux explosion in your mouth, and you will just be blown away. There'll be just so much Linux.
Great way of putting it, there, Dan.
Yes,
Linux explosion in your mouth.
It's going to be so much Linux coming into your head that you are just going to be vomiting Linux for the next day and a half. That's how confident
Linux
we are in
your
season
pants.
Two. Yes. But
I mean,
I don't
I'm
know if
put
it's
that right explode. On the top of our new website, Linux explosion in your mouth.
New tagline.
Yeah, I don't know how that actually is going to work out, though, because it's coming through your ears, but hey, you know, we'll give it our best. But, yeah, I mean, we want to get back to some of the roots, our old roots, and, you know, continue on with our wonderful guests that we've had, like you in the past, hope you have on season two, and then we're going to really hit you with the hard questions, because we already got the fluff from you, and,
I'm always up there.
So, we are looking to just take it to the next level. Right, Link? And, you know what? Season two is going to have twice as much Alan. Year two. Twice as much Alan.
Yay!
That means I'll say two words then.
Yes.
I was going to say, that's still not very much.
But it makes it more special when I do talk.
I figured in season two we would have one Alan show per month, where Alan will show up and the rest of us will just go on mute and let him talk. Because you know what it is, it's Alan does not like to talk. He's very modest. He doesn't like to talk over other people. So I figure if we just cut out on him in the middle of a show and let him have it, there will be no bounds
to the
amount of Alan goodness.
2 hours of crickets.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, it takes a lot of dedication to do what you guys do so consistently. As I don't know if you're aware, LC Radio has been on a little bit of a hiatus recently.
You don't say.
I'd like to bring back. It's a lot of work.
How many year hiatus has that been?
I think I did one show last year. but I think I am going to bring it back in the near future, though, in kind of a little bit of a different format and see if I can roll with it. Kind of a shorter format like I had done originally.
That'd be cool. That would be cool.
I'm actually surprised how many requests I still get for it.
Well, I was going to request it when you didn't bring it up there. But, I miss LC Radio.
Got it, Jack. That's kind of the, if you look back at our older shows, that was kind of the original format, was it, you know, it was just me, you know, it was maybe 10, 15-minute stops. I'd like to stick with that 10-minute format, maybe 15, but have one other person on there. That's what I'm looking to do now.
I would like to see that come back, because I noticed on the website all that stuff, the LQ Radio, LQ Jukebox, it's all password protected. Like,
Yeah, you know, so. WordPress is not necessarily known for its security strength, so instead of having it out there and me not keeping track of it, I just put it behind the password wall for now. But all the content is still there. So when I relaunch the show, all the old content will be available. And if you go to the mirror now, all the actual MP3s and AUGs are still there.
That's cool. I really...
You play on your Santa really clip.
Yeah, it's still going.
I haven't watched it yet.
So what else is going on the docket for Jeremy Garcia tonight? You're going to be at OLF, right?
Well, if you guys are relaunching the show, I'll have to be there, won't I?
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing for that, though, yet. What are we doing for that there, Link?
Don't look at me. You're in charge of that.
Oh, I am now.
That's all you. You're the public speaker. I'm making you in charge of it, and I haven't heard a damn thing back from the OLF guys, so have at it.
Huh.
Kind of running out of time there. It's coming up pretty soon, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's like a month, you know?
Well, they don't even have registration open yet.
Really? That doesn't sound like a good sign.
Which is strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Makes me wonder.
And you said you haven't heard back from them and you tried to contact them?
No, we did, and there was discussion about it, and then I don't know where it went from there.
No place.
Right into the toilet.
Nothing has been updated on the Ohio Linux Fest website since June 29th by Zomper. That's when they extended the call for presentations. So it's kind of, yeah, it got me wondering too.
I mean, that's usually a good show. I have to say, I really do like the regional shows. You know, all off and scale. Seem to very consistently be very good events.
Mm-hmm. You only have like a shell.
Have you guys made it off the scale yet?
Oh, hell no.
Would love to do that, man, but it costs money to get out there, you know?
Yeah.
And it does.
Real money.
We were looking for OLF support. We were looking for Linux question support to go to scale, but...
Okay.
Well, that's a lot of airline tickets.
I wish he was ever able to send me even, then I'll have it send someone else, too.
Damn. Well, what time is it, gentlemen? It's almost closing time.
9:50, yeah. You got some good music to play us out with?
I got some music. It's the official. It's the official Linux Questions soundtrack.
Soundtrack of summer.
I'm honored.
Soundtrack to Dan's life.
It's Doba.
Doba. Would you like to know?
No, I wouldn't do that to you, Jeremy.
Do it.
It's Party Till It Hurts.
Hmm. How many times have you done that, Dan?
Yeah, that's true.
Was it 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talking about the ass incident? Yeah.
I wasn't going to bring that up for you.
Yeah, well, thanks. But it's out there. So, you know, you learn from your mistakes. You know how it goes. I didn't show my ass at the following year.
But no, but you showed the Goatsy disc image in your presentation itself, didn't you?
What was it? What did I call that?
Goatsy was disc.
No, it wasn't Goatsy. It was Bootsy, the boot sector. The boot sector image. The Bootsy image. See? You know, it was clean. People laughed. That's all that matters. Give them what they want.
Hey,
and what they want is LQ
times?
Radio. They want LQ radio. Oh, it's you know what? Gap, what was huh? I going to say? What was I going to say here? I had a little something I was going to say. Hey, Jeremy, what languages do you program in quite frequently?
Most of our stuff is in PHP, but yeah, a little bit more Python recently.
So you're pretty good at PHP, I would take it, right?
Not horrible, I guess. Pretty good might be an overstatement.
What's your opinion of object-oriented PHP?
Well, that's a long conversation there. Like most things, I guess it has its pros and its cons. I think one of the pros of PHP was that it was easy to get into and pretty straightforward. The implementation probably not been phenomenal so far. I think a lot of people are looking to PHP 6, which is turning into Perl 6 pretty rapidly from what it looks like.
So, I mean, do you do a lot of your PHP as procedural code, or do you do it more of object-oriented?
Getting more object-oriented as time goes on, I would say. Not strict. I think one thing is strict PHP, I don't. What, do you do a lot of PHP?
It's my day job.
You do a lot in it?
I do. When object-oriented programming is OOPHP is great when it's simple and well done, but when, oh my god, it can be so damn convoluted and complicated.
Yeah.
And it's just, ugh. Besides, wrapping your head around OO, object-oriented programming, it's a completely different animal.
Definitely.
It is, I do like it. But it's you know, when you sit down and you go to write something in PHP, you can sit down and bang something out in a few minutes. But if you want to do it like follow the OO principles and do all this stuff, you don't just bang it out in a few minutes. I mean, you got to plan it out, and UML and all sorts of crap involved, and to do it right, it takes a lot more thought process into it. And eventually, I mean, theoretically, you can get better code. The only reason why I bring this up is because, and where I work, we developed we wanted to develop kind of like a widget system for standing up sites for our particular widgets a lot faster, certain components, which, when we sat down to build this thing, the engineer that I kind of put this task onto, and he and I discussed it, he was talking about building a framework to control this widget stuff, and it can do all this interesting stuff, and to develop the framework so that it wasn't dependent on any system. And he got to the point where he was talking about data mappers and different engines and API calls, and it blossomed into this very complex system that, after a while, nobody understood. Because we all got pulled onto different projects. He finished building the system. He worked with a web front-end developer, and they kind of added some front-end stuff to it, how they would control these widgets and stuff. And they both left the company. And then we came back to address the situation, and then the web developers under me, I'm like, well, let's use this widget system that was supposedly built. We got to finish building it. And they could not wrap their heads around it. And it was just such a convoluted, confusing mess to them. And so I eventually came up with something a lot more simpler, and they loved it. But it wasn't object-oriented, unfortunately, or easily. I mean, I could break it out into that, but the system was just so damn complex.
I think that's always been one of the mixed blessings and curse things of PHP, right, is it's really easy to write PHP, but that means it's really easy to write really bad, ugly, unmaintainable PHP. And I think that's where PHP's bad name is, that it's just so easy to write awful, ugly, ridiculous PHP that a lot of it is all of those things and more. But I still don't think that's inherent to the language. No, I'm still a PhD fan in general.
I love it. I mean, I do enjoy it. It's I need to get more now. I'm trying to get Link to do the OO, object-oriented programming, but he's afraid. Every time I bring it up, he cries.
I hate programming, man. I would love to get more into it, but here's the thing. And Dan and I have had this conversation. I spent a lot of years writing PHP for my last company, you know, and I didn't do any OOP programming whatsoever. And every time I run into some documentation on how I can, you know, start getting into that, it just twists around my head like you wouldn't believe. And what I really need is someone who can do it well, who can sit down with me for 20 minutes and explain what the hell is going on, just so I get my, you know, conceptually I get everything down right. But the problem is, with that, finding somebody who actually does it is problematic. You know, and I turn to Dan because Dan does a lot of OOP programming, or he does a lot of PHP programming now. I turned to him and said, you know, if we could sit down for 15 minutes and run some OOP stuff by each other, maybe we could get everything down, and he laughed at me. So it puts me back to square one, you know what I mean?
I'll tell you what, if I could explain OOP to you in 15 minutes, I would be so much better off. It's just, I just gotta get.
Well, you know,
believe
it's not
me.
Like it's not like you're trying to teach somebody programming who's never done it before. I mean, I'm fairly well versed in PHP programming.
That's part of the problem, though.
Stuff, you know?
That's in some ways that's part of the problem, because you come to it from
like,
a different perspective.
I can't retard anything, man.
No, I mean, you're like sitting there and you're like, you know what? I could spend, you know, I could do all this, or I could have it finished in like 10 minutes. Although, you know, you look at it and you're like, well, if I do it this way, it doesn't have the advantages of OOP right there, but it's just, oh, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to work on that, Link, and I'm going to try and get you to 15 minute. That's my goal for 2011, is to give you the 15 minute OOP.
Give him the PHP.
We can hold a class here one night if you like. I do this every day, so I do it in Java, but still the concepts are the same.
The concepts are the same, but the application in PHP. If Pat and Dan there have so much experience in Java, then you just do it naturally. That's what I got to. You got to sit down and.
Let's say, with object-oriented programming, Dan, isn't it more or less, there's more planning before you even start writing code?
Yeah, I said, I did mention that.
But that should be any application. You should have a lot of that planning work done up front.
Do enough planning regardless of OOP or not.
Exactly.
And Dan
exactly.
And Jeremy say the exact same thing.
What?
Nah. They both said the same. They talked over each other, but they both kind of said the same thing, which is all programming should have that. Most don't. Most doesn't nowadays.
Right.
Yeah, what tends to get frustrating is when I'm trying to track shit down in, like, code that I'm not familiar with, and you're like, it calls this, like, class that... It calls a function out of this class that does one thing to call a function out of another class that pulls an abstract
See,
static
that's
property.
Exactly what, that's exactly what gets me loopy about OOP on PHP is all those frickin' containers. Like, they have containers that contain the containers that contain the containers. And you have to drill down through all this shit for, you know, sometimes 47 times before you find anything that actually does something. And that's what annoys the hell out of me about object-oriented programming. And I'm sure that there's...
Have you looked at the Zen framework at all?
What's that?
I said, have you looked at the Zen framework at all? It's a web-based, you know... It's a web-specific framework, I should say, but it's PHP, and they get into a lot of that, you know, the object-oriented, you know, nature of PHP.
Yes.
Everything's kind of broken out into classes and, you know.
Yes. We are actually moving a lot of our stuff over to the Zend framework.
Okay.
It's pretty good. I do like it. Still. Anyway, I opened up a can of worms at the end there.
That's a long conversation to bring up at the very end of the show.
Isn't it? Well, we can close up in like 5 minutes here. Let's talk about object-oriented programming.
To answer your question there, Link, you're not going to get that in 15 minutes no matter who you talk to, so.
True enough.
Oh, I will. I will. I'm very close to having a decent grasp on it. I just need to, you know, sit down with somebody and go over a few things, and that'll be that. Like I said, it's not like I'm programming retarded. I've been programming for, you know, almost 30 years now, so.
Almost.
It's just getting into the style.
Damn youngins.
What, Alan?
I just said damn youngins.
Yeah. Alan doesn't know what programming is. He used to use a hole punch.
I was going to say, when I started, that's what you did. You punched cards.
Alan waves magnets over the bits on the computer, you know?
Yeah. Alan actually knows what core memory is. And seen it.
All right. Yeah. Next time when we have you on the show, Jeremy, we'll spend the last 10 minutes talking about the differences between C++ and C sharp and C.
Oh, hell no.
In 5 minutes.
I look forward to
that. That'll be at the end of season 2, right?
Yeah, at the end of season 2. In a nutshell, how do you feel about C-sharp?
Another 7 years
from now.
Yeah. All right, so here we have our closing song is Party Till It Hurts from Major Major off of Jamendo.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. It's always a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you at OLF this year. I look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely.
Missed you
as did the rest of us.
So thank you again for coming on. Great job. Keep up the great work
Absolutely.
On LQ.
My pleasure. Anytime.
And you've been a great friend of not just me, but the show for many years now. And we thank you very much.
Much appreciated.
Love you, Jeremy. All right. Thank you.
They'll always be Boston.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan, and Alan, and Link, and Joel. Pat wasn't able to be here tonight because he still had to work.
Yeah, I just got but spam on Gizmo. That's pretty cool. Someone who I have no clue has just popped in on Gizmo on me. Oh, well.
All right. Here we go. Major Majors, Party Till It Hurts.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
I'm rich. I live the life of a bee. I steal your stuff for really. It makes me feel good in the night to hold your things so tight. I know that you think I am the best. I'm buttered off up the rest. You know what is going on is I will remember you. I'm going to keep it for myself. Not gonna share with nobody else. I will set the party till it hurts. And then I'll do it again. Go!
Can we talk about the new search of computers?
Can we talk about multiprocessing?
Can we talk about Beowulf clusters?
Can we talk about Web 2.0?
Just talk geek to me.
Just talk geek to me.
Hey, it's Steve Geek. Please come check out my podcast for my take on all things geeky. You can find us at www.talkgeektome.us. That's www.talkgeektome.us. Thank you.
Just talk geek to me.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Mm, yeah, with my tongue
yes.
brush. Tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
It's over.
There you go. Another hole in the bag.
Yes, sir.
For Dan Fry.
Hey. Good one.
Yeah.
Who kept getting text messages or something? Because I kept hearing dry.
Oh, it was mine.
That's my thought.
I didn't think it was picking it up. It's sitting a little ways away.
So what do you think of that thing, man? Awesome?
It's a pretty sweet phone. Yeah. Been doing a lot of shit on it, man. I'm digging it.
You've been shitting on your phone?
Yep.
Tell you what. Swipe on that thing is awesome. The swipe keyboard.
I haven't tried it yet. I haven't tried that yet. It's something I gotta play with.
You're using the keyboard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have used it, but you just probably have been just tapping on it.
Yeah, just been tapping
on
it.
Not actually. Right. Which works also, which is a good thing.
But what should I do here?
I'm thinking about doing
it. Let me try it real quick.
Incredible now. Just try and type like Linux. I mean, it's on a big screen, it's awesome. On my little teeny tiny screen on my G1, it's not even worth trying. But I like it. Sorry about that outburst there, Dan. From my link.
Yeah, live and learn. What are you going to do? You're looking at porn.
Yeah. No, actually, that was revolutionary.
You're fired.
In the middle
That's
of it.
What.
Yeah, you
okay,
tell me.
I don't
man.
Get paid anyway.
You're
I don't get paid
your
anyway.
Geek card. You're fired, you some bitch. That's it.
No cookies don't. For you, then.
No cookies for you, either.
I don't need any cookies.
I'll make Dan wear underwear next time. You won't get no cookies at all.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Dude, what is happening with OLF? It doesn't look good,
does it? I don't know.
Haven't
heard anything. Haven't seen anything. You looked at their page. Their page hasn't been updated. I wonder if they're having, like, some infighting or something, you know?
That's the only thing I could think.
Something's going on. Either something's going on and it's big and we haven't heard about it, or nothing is going on at all, you know? Or so it seems.
Yeah. I hope not. I hope it continues. It's
wow, holy crap.
Dave. Seriously,
like,
I'm
the last
to worry
post
about
on
Dave.
The forum was like 40... What do you mean starting to worry about? He's on vacation, I think.
Is he?
I think he's on vacation. I know that Southeast Linux Fest, their domain expired a couple days ago, and I contacted both of them about them. Jeremy Sands fixed it. I think Dave Yates is on vacation.
That's the only thing I can think of.
But yeah. Ohio Linux Fest, I see that, you know, if you look at their forums, the last post in their forums was like 40 weeks ago.
Their forums aren't very active anyway.
Well, I wouldn't say so, but I don't, you know, their main page, the last post on their page was June 30, 29th. A request for proposals. It's kind of odd that we're like a month and a half away and there's really nothing.
Yeah, you would think that the the information wagon would be rolling real heavy by now. Oh, well. What are you going to do? All right, guys, I'm out of here. I have to go take a piss, so have a happy
nice.
See you later.
Yeah, they don't even have registration isn't even up yet, huh?
Nope. I looked at that 2 or 3 times today. It wasn't. I think an email to Joe and Beth Lynn's in order.
I don't even have Beth Lynn's email address anymore.
I do.
Fire it off! Kick it off, son!
Man, this is one of those nights, man. Every freaking 5 minutes. Joe! My wife, actually, she's a... We're finally figuring out some of her issues. She's been having issues sleeping. And, no, she has been not diagnosed with sleep apnea like I have. But,
that sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. I gotta sleep with CPAP every night, and so does she, so we match. But she's gonna go for another sleep study, and also this thing they call MSLT that happens during the day. MSLT is multiple sleep latency test. Basically, it's a test for narcolepsy. So, because she'll sleep like a good 8 hours on her CPAP and still not feel rested. So,
I'll tell you what, I have absolutely no problem sleeping. I love sleeping, but when I was having my back and leg problems past couple of weeks, and it was interrupting my sleep. Oh, God, that sucks so bad. I feel, you know, I sympathize for you, Joel. Not getting a good night's sleep for a long period of time, really, really. Woo!
Yep. I've been there, and I'm still there every once in a while. I still, you know, in the summer, I don't really sleep very good at all, mostly because Luke is stuck. You know, he's still awake, and it's 10 o'clock at night. And during school year, that wouldn't happen. But, yeah, it's not been a great, great summer with that, so.
Yeah. I wish your wife the best, man.
Yeah. But they gave her this stuff called, they did give her medicine already for it, called Provigil. Man, I tell you, it's working this quickly. Of course, she may have been taking too much. They wrote her script out for 150 milligrams, but then they gave her 250 milligram pills. So she took it, and I called her, and I'm like, how are you? Oh, I'm just great. I'm like, who took my wife? So... Oh, yeah, man. I wouldn't say she's high. She's just, like, hyper. So, she's cutting the pill in half tomorrow. So, I don't know if she'll stay on it or not. Because it could be possible she might be having some heinous side effects to it. So, we'll see, you know. Hey, I gotta take a whole day off work for it, so we're gonna wait till she gets home, get cleaned up, and then we'll go up to the fair, the state fair. It's awesome. Talk about food eating time, Dan. That's a place to go.
Any
state fair.
The fair over by you guys?
Yeah, it's right in Columbus.
Yeah.
So they have there's a guy there. Well, this guy's local, JP's Pit Barbecue. They'll build these barbecues for the fair, the whole length of the fair. It's like about a week and a half. And they build them out of a cinder blocks. They stack up the cinder blocks,
okay,
and
yeah.
They throw big bags of charcoal and wood and stuff in there and smoke the ribs. And
yep.
That, you know,
That's probably the most normal fair food you get. Then you got things like deep fried Snickers and Twinkies and.
Oh sure, yeah.
I tried a deep fried Twinkie. It was good. I won't get it again now. I always like to go. There's a food court in like their little marketplace building. I like to go in there and get pierogi, and they also do this awesome chicken and noodle thing. They'll take a big dollop of mashed potatoes and put like chicken and noodles with gravy on top of that.
That sounds good. Pierogies, they're from this area over here.
Pierogies are awesome. Yep. Dan's gargling his mic again. Anyway. So, like I said, I think I may go for the Incredible. We'll see. We'll see. The screen is really nice on the Incredible.
I just saw that the X is having some Wi-Fi issues now, too. I haven't noticed any Wi-Fi issues with mine.
And yeah. Banding issues. To me, the screen issues are more disconcerting. But yeah. Motorola says they have them fixed, so future versions.
I haven't noticed. I got the first over-the-air update on it, and everything seems fine. I haven't had any issues with the screen or the Wi-Fi. I just saw the Wi-Fi story while we were doing the show, so.
Right. Right. But yeah, it's a nice phone. I played with it several times this past weekend. Every time I seen a Verizon store, I was playing with the phone. And they're almost all the Verizon stores around here are like mall kiosks, so it makes it real easy to sneak in and grab a minute or two.
Right.
Playing around. I like the little optical trackball thing on the Incredible. That's kind of neat. But, and I almost like the Sense UI a little bit better than the Blur. I don't like all them dang dots on the bottom of the Blur on the Droid. I suppose you can probably turn them off. But,
speaking of turning off, I'm stopping the recording. Say goodnight.
Goodnight, folks.
See ya.
Goodnight.
Oh, yeah. Always screwing with OSAC, man.
Sounds like fun.
Live off of that stuff. My audio sound like, so, alright?
Yeah, sounds good. All right, how about me?
Yeah, you sound fine.
Okay, good. These headphones drown everything else out completely, and even this, I don't even know if it's coming through okay or not, so.
Nope, sound great.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, Dan.
Shut the hell up.
Was y'all so very picturesque? You're so very cold. It tastes like roses on your breath, but graveyards on your soul.
Now I know why you're a web developer.
When's a duet with Randall Schwartz?
You
trying like hell to get caught up on my mail real quick.
Somebody's talking. Why can't I hear them?
Blah, blah. Because your bleeding vagina is in the way. That's why.
One spastic explosion, two pressure cookers go insane. It makes me act crazy. I shiver, but I love this game. You're so very picturesque. You're so very lame. Tastes like roses on your breath and earthworms through your brain. Hello?
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 Is anybody there?
Is anybody there?
Hello?
Hello?
I'm not here.
Shit.
Shit.
Can you hear... Wait,
can
hold
you
on.
Wait, hold
can
on.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
I can't hear
I can't hear anything.
From my I hear two of
my headphones.
Yeah, there's two
would
of me.
Yeah,
hold on,
hold on, I'm gonna hang up.
I gotta be coming through because I see I got wavelength on there. Something ain't right, though.
There's no way for you to screw up the audio anymore. If you do it, I'm going to come over there and kick you square in the pussy.
Got a lot of background noise.
She sits over there right next to the jet engines, you know?
Yeah.
Shut your filthy mouths.
Uh-huh.
It's toasty here tonight.
Oh, great. Is the server going to shut down again?
No, it's just...
To dinner right after I get home and not checking my email for a couple hours.
What'd you have for dinner?
Really bad steak at Applebee's.
Can you get a good steak at Applebee's?
I've had a good steak at Applebee's before, but I'll tell you what, this one was not it.
Yellow.
My dog, however, really enjoyed it.
Hey, Alan.
I'm sure she did. Is it a she or a he?
She. Well, more of an it, but, you know.
More than it?
Originally, what? She was she.
And now she's got joy juice.
Mine's a boy, but he's the biggest pussy there is, so he's included with all the other women in my house.
Oh, freaking pig!
Excuse me, shit. So, who all is on the call right now?
I am.
Oh, that's all that matters, because Alan's on the call. Oh, boy.
Damn right it is. That's all that matters.
Dan and Alan. The other guys were kicking off the show.
Nobody else? Anybody else? Anyone?
No, we're kicking them off. We're also streaming.
Okay.
Why?
Well, Dan and Alan, and Dan even, for that matter, you guys have... still been ignoring my frequent requests.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. For a picture,
I told you I would do it myself.
No, I got pictures now, but we got to have information, you know.
I told you I would do it myself.
Website.
I would take care of it, and I will upload it.
But you didn't, because you're a...
How do you know? I just didn't upload it. Whiny bitch.
You're a
what are you looking for, Link?
He's looking for some cock.
A big
oh, chicka, wow, wow.
Are you, Dan, are you on the, tech show email list thingy?
Yeah. Oh, wait, which
email? Yeah, I put it out there.
What did you put out there?
You sent me those Google Docs, and I updated it with my stuff.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on.
Yeah,
he's
Dan,
not on,
wow.
No, he's not.
I'm talking about something different.
He's not.
He's
oh.
Not on the... So what's going to happen, Dan Frey?
Wait, I will fix that.
And Dan know, is... The other Dan is very loud.
Yep.
Is he loud for anybody else?
Dan Washko was going to put you on our super secret mail redirect so that anytime someone mails techshow at thelinuxlink.net that you also get it along with the rest of us. Since you are a designated co-host. And that's probably why you don't know what I'm talking about. The other thing is that since you're a designated co-host, I need a bio from you.
What's your email,
okay.
Man?
To add on the, to add into the new reloaded tech show website.
What's your email?
Gotcha.
DMFrey at gmail.com?
Yep.
DMFrey.
Yep.
And, Dan Frey, are you in the IRC channel?
Yeah, you want this one or the admin one?
Are you in the admin one?
Yeah, I'm jumping over there now.
I better get in there
I'm
before Dan
there
does.
Too.
Can anybody hear me?
Okay, what I'm going to do, we can hear you. I'm going to send you the link for the current version of the reload site.
Okay.
Or the new, what we're going to launch for Techshow 2.0, I guess. And so you can see what I'm talking about. If you go there and click, you know, who we are, and click your picture, you'll see what we're talking about. I'm looking for some bio to stick under your picture.
Okay.
Ooh, pretty.
Wow.
And I need bio information for you too, Alan.
I guess I'm the only one that did it, huh?
The Vladimir thing isn't working anymore, huh?
No, I want to have like legitimate shit this time.
All right, I have to
Even
think about
really
it.
Like the Vlad thing, it was really a true bit of creative writing for me to come up with that. You know,
it was funny.
You should have that one, and then it fades into what it really is.
Hey, what's wrong with the bio you put out there on me?
It's the more of a little bit.
Yep.
You know what I think we should do? I think we should fade Alan's picture on that.
I like
that.
Can't get it translated into English for some reason.
We should fade Alan's picture on the website just so it matches his speech patterns on the show.
Yeah, I've got this information.
Click
there.
On Alan, it just fades into nothing, you know?
Is Jeremy Garcia on?
That I am.
Jeremy?
Jeremy, hey, you're going to have to talk louder. I can't hear you.
Can't hear me?
You're a little soft.
How's that?
That's better.
Dan's
good to
have
see
to,
you, baby.
Dan's going to have to talk just a hair lower, I think, man. He's blowing my ears out.
Am I still loud?
I'm going to move the mic away a little bit.
How about now?
There.
A bit better?
Yeah, that's better.
They're not good that loud. Ha!
We're
no,
put
no
that
one
mic bike up, back up your ass.
How about Jeremy? Can you talk again?
What?
Jeremy?
Yeah.
Derm.
Can you talk some more? He's kind of soft over here.
Sound good?
What are you using to call into the show? Are you using an analog line or are you using SIP?
My cell phone.
Ah. Okay.
He's
well,
all right on the recording.
Is all right on the recording? Okay.
He looks all right. I think he is. No, man, they ain't here to listen to him. They're here to listen to us.
Well, wait.
There's only one thing wrong with Chad's picture on this Reloaded, man. He needs to, like, lose the tie.
Hey, that's, you know what, I had a really good one that I put on there, and he sent me that one instead, so.
We need one of them slapping a statue.
There you go. I like the one that I had. He had a real big smile and stuff, you know, but.
Slapping that statue. No, it's funny.
You'll notice that both Alan and I are wearing.
I have a picture of that statue, by the way.
Yeah, no, we look good in the Hawaiian shirts too, you know.
Gimp it, man.
Bless you.
I need a picture of Chad swinging like a monkey then, or something like that, so I can put him onto that statue.
Gimp it. You need a kilt, Dan.
Yeah. I should have picture of me as in one of the guys with the kilt on. On the Reloaded.
Yeah,
plate.
No. You really wouldn't know. 330s is an old pick from, like, OLF, what, 2 years ago, isn't it? Before he got dreadlocks again.
Yeah, he was another hard one to find a picture of.
Right. I like the one I did with my netbook. It looks nice. I got a good smile.
Keep patting yourself on the back there, pal.
Yep, Joel, that's the one I masturbate to every morning.
Right.
Bow, wow.
Dude, I might have to switch to Verizon before the end of this month. You guys heard what's going on, didn't you?
Nope.
Yeah,
for the
tier pricing.
No, because I don't want to hear any phone talk during the show.
Kiss my ass.
You're banned.
Yeah, it was up on Engadget. Tiered pricing.
For who?
Verizon. No unlimited.
That sucks. So what is it now? T-Mobile's the only one that doesn't have it?
And Sprint. Oh, no, wait. Sprint has a cap. T-Mobile technically doesn't on their phones.
Hey, Jeremy.
Damn it, they just gave you that Droid X, too.
I know. Actually, you'd probably be grandfathered in. Because the rumor is this is not supposed to start until the 29th. So.
Well, I'm not paying for it, so.
Yeah, what the hell do you care? Actually, I'm not either, here, except for it really sucks for the data, but.
Well, what's the data cap they're switching to?
Either 5 gig or even worse, 2.
AT&T's 2, really? But I think I saw Verizon's going to be 5.
Yeah, I think it is.
I don't know. Well, I got a contract with them for unlimited for 2 years, so they can, you know, suck my nut until then, I guess.
Yeah, you're grandfathered in, Link, at least until you have to switch to a new phone or want to switch to a new phone or contract.
Hey, is my air conditioning too loud, guys?
No, it sounds just fine.
Okay.
Yeah. If you mute, we won't even notice.
Look at a pot calling the kettle black over there, Al. Are you going to take that from him?
No.
Slap him when I see him again.
I'd enjoy it too much.
Yeah, that's okay. We both would. Ooh.
Pervs, shut up. Disgusting.
Actually, I'm thinking about going to the Incredible maybe instead of the X. It's a nice phone too.
I wasn't complaining. And they were giving it to me for nothing, so.
I was about to say. Well, it's not like I'm going to hack my phone either, since I'll have to also use it not only as a personal phone, but as a work phone too. So I won't be hacking it for quite some time.
You know, the only thing I could hear out of that whole conversation was Dan Fry going, "Fuck you, bitches."
Fuck you, bitches.
It don't matter.
I've got my phone for free.
You know, fuck you, bitches.
Dan's like, "Hey, if I go over, I don't have to pay it."
They'll probably bitch to me, but hey, they gave me the phone, right? I'm going to do with it what I want.
I'll have you know, Billy Crook, I have indeed hacked on the Linux kernel. Not kernel code directly, but at least compiled my own, so. Hacking ROMs actually is pretty challenging, too. Especially if you're trying to make something work, it should begin with. No, I don't need to hack the phone that I want to actually work.
Hey, Dan, ready to start the show?
I'm getting there.
Let's start it, man.
Oh, whoa, whoa. 830.
WikipediaLGS.org. And I'll teach you the Linux .net Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, because the gallery's just about to begin.
Is that better for you now? Where's our guest?
Here I am.
Is that you, Jeremy?
Yep.
Mr. Garcia?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, good.
Are you married yet?
I am not.
You still have a chance, Dan.
Lucky, lucky man. Lucky, lucky man.
There'll always be Boston.
You going to be at Ohio Linux Fest?
Shut up. Yeah. Wait till the show starts, man.
Nobody cares whether he's going to be there except me.
Dan's feeling lonely.
You know what? That was not appropriate, Joel.
It was not.
Apologize to Jeremy right now.
I'm sorry, Jeremy.
That's okay. I didn't even hear what you said.
It's good.
It was disgusting. All right, you guys ready?
Do it.
You know what? We haven't... Yep. We're like, what, a month and a half away from Ohio Linux Fest, and I haven't received an audio promo for it yet?
That's okay. I haven't ordered the rooms for it yet either. So.
Is there an audio promo for it?
Curious.
I
heard they canceled it.
I certainly hope not.
Could be.
Really suck.
That's nice, Dan. Just start spreading rumors. As a matter of fact,
but we haven't heard a dang. I was going to say we haven't heard anything from Dave either.
Dave fell off the face of the earth.
He sure as hell did after he fell.
I guess, all right, well, here we go. The website still says it's on.
Yep.
I was only messing around.
We know.
Don't do that, Daniel. Scare Joel.
Right, whatever.
Then he'll have to sit on that rock for another year.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.